Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I remember when, you know, I pastored a traditional founding work. I believe that even Francis Chan founded the work in California.
He sure did.
And he was frustrated with the fact is, like, we got to make disciples. We've got to replicate. What are we doing? And he said, you know, out of 4,000 people that were gathering in that traditional church, maybe we're reaching 100, 200.
Wow.
And he's like, there could be a better use of resources. So as this is the traditional concept that 4,000 people gather, and in that, there's 100 to 200 people. They're their church. Mm-hmm. That's actually the church. They're followers of Jesus Christ. And which is called evangelism, what we would call it. Right. Very expensive evangelism, by the way. Hmm. And so in that, you know, this journey of just being the church, and so you look at the book of Acts, and you see how the church is, and, you know, why would that be wrong? And I know that we just began this journey of getting to a place where we're just going to wait on God and you know, and see how God leads us as he speaks. And he spoke to, we can't go into all the details, but we'll make it related so you can hear it. But I believe that he made me sick. He almost gave you a heart attack. And somebody's ears was ringing in the studio here. And
Lord confirmed it to me.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so he was speaking to us, and we're trying to hear what he was saying. And and so we just went and waited on God. And God was preparing to show himself mighty. He was going to do some powerful things. And what we first figured out, got to follow God, of course, is like we've got to first become what he wants to reproduce. And so we had to first walk out and get all this religion out of us. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was hard to even look at each other when you're worshiping God, because you spend your entire life worshiping God by looking at the back of someone's head.
Exactly.
Right. That you have no idea who they are.
Right.
But it is a nice suit. And right. It was just real difficult. You know, it was amazing. And then, you know, all the different forms of music. Anyway, so then, you know, as we began to love and gather and just come together, almost immediately, God began to move. I found out God was more into building his kingdom than we were.
Yeah.
He's really into people. He wants every man to be saved. And everything that you do religious, everything that you do that is something you create becomes a stumbling block to the plans of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything. And so it will put space between you and what God wants you to do. So it makes it more difficult for you to do what you got to do. So you got to be so careful. And so immediately, you know, we started coming together, and I was committed. I didn't care if it took 10 years. I just wanted what God wanted. Mm-hmm. It didn't take 10 hours. All of a sudden, you know, people started showing up and drawn to what God was doing, dreams and visions. And I had a particular young boy that was a neighbor boy that he comes to me and tells me, you know, my mother has been beat up by her boyfriend. She's curled up on the bathroom floor, just like an infant. And he beat her up bad. He took her money, took her car, and she was in school. That's why she didn't have any money. And he just cried out for God. You know, he needed help. Mm-hmm. And so I began to minister to the lady, and I said, you know, what do you need? What do you want from God? She says, well, I need a job. You know, I need a car. And then my bills need to get caught up. I mean, think about it. She's not only on the floor beat up, but he took everything from her. Mm-hmm. And this young, maybe 11-year-old boy was desperately, he's like, what do you do? Because you can't fix it.
Right.
And so I said, let's just pray. No, let's just ask God. And so I prayed, asked God for what she had wanted. And God gave her, this is what God does. God gave her a car. She needed a job. God mm-hmm. gave her a car. God gave her money to catch her bills up. God gave her one of the best jobs in her community. And also with the hours that she needed to be off so that she could be there when her son got mm-hmm. off. get this now. And he did all this on her birthday. Mm-hmm. All this on her birthday. I mean, this is the God that we serve. And so we began to see, as we're watching God just move and we're learning, I mean, we stepped out of this institutionalized religion, you know, where you just show up and look one way and you talk to people that aren't going to do anything you say, but they're going to treat you nice. And then all of a sudden we're like, it's happening around us. And we're seeing what healings where people are, you know, things just, this is just a skimming of what's happening. We're seeing dreams and visions where, you know, God is speaking to one member of this church gathering that's gathering. It's gathering in a home now. This one church gather member that's there who's about to go to school the next day. And then that there's going to be him and his three friends that he hangs out with is going to get arrested. Well, he wasn't involved in that, but he's hanging with people that are involved in something they shouldn't be doing. Well, God gives me a dream and he shows me what's going on. And so the parents keep the boy home that day. And well, guess what? Just like God said, those boys that were into that stuff, they went to jail, but kept the young,
their son
out of jail. I mean, we've seen second stage breast cancer. We've seen deliverance where, you know, as God is unfolding, how I'm at VFN TV was birthed during that time, VFN radio. And we're watching how the anointing transfers through media.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular guy that somebody just brought that wasn't part of the family, kind of the traditional way of doing things, and just brought this person in who didn't know God yet. And I think his name was Legion, I think.
Yeah, so, I think so.
And so, but we're listening to a teaching come over VFN TV. And then all of a sudden, just taking authority, you know, talking about deliverance and that God will deliver us from strongholds, the power came over that broadcast. This man was set free right there. He was sleeping, actually. He actually laid his head over and was just sleeping during what was going on. But as soon as the power of God came, he sat up straight. He looked straight up, and he was delivered of stuff on him at that one moment. It was a powerful moment because I remember – you know, Tracy sliding over and the hair sticking up on her arm. It's like, I mean, God's so powerful. I mean, we've seen so many things. I remember, you know, that, you know, you see, you know, so many people have these other motives. It's really weird. It's just really strange. But you have to understand, they really do have these other motives. But God will reveal that to you. He revealed Ananias and Sapphira. He revealed all those kind of things. You know, we had a particular couple that really wanted to do ministry. I mean, they really wanted to do ministry. And all we wanted is be family, you know, and just family reproduces and all that kind of stuff. And God reveals everything that's happening, you know, in their life. I mean, to the detail. And so I'm sitting, I think Pat and I are actually sitting.
Mm-hmm.
This couple just going, you know, like, is this going on? Is this happening? Is this happening? I'm a serious, like, huge, like,
major stuff.
Oh my goodness, fear of God stuff. And they say yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You think,
with a straight face.
Okay, so God knows, so he wants you to deal with this. I mean, he's obviously, you know, wanting to deal with this.
Right.
And so didn't deal with it. And then God reveals more and more and more. He begins to show that this relationship's out of order, and that basically that the wife was over the husband and the husband was under the wife and everybody was under the whatever. And the whole business structure was up under that particular wife. That's what he was showing. Mm-hmm. And what he did, he showed a particular dream and a vision where the lady was bald, mm-hmm. that the husband took his arm and pulled over his wife. And she had a toupee type thing on, mm-hmm. was bald. And he talks about that. Word of God talks specifically about, you know, that's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, I really want this couple to make it, you know, I really want them to make it. I want them to make it. Right.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, God just tells me, he says, listen, you're dealing with human beings. This has to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
The things of God are holy. Now, I'm not perfect. Obviously, you know, I couldn't be in if it's perfect. But in regards to that, the motives of your heart have to be pure. And so all of a sudden God just says, okay, this has to separate. And as soon as that whole thing separates, the peace of God and the power of God reignites back into that environment again. Mm. I mean, it's the power of God and the things of God. We got so much more we're going to share with you, but this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve, and that everything you read in the book of Acts, as a matter of fact, one particular person said, when I stepped out of tradition, traditional church expression, I stepped into, you know, what we were doing, which is the church. It felt like I was stepping into Acts chapter 4, I think. Acts chapter 4. And it's like we're supposed to live in the Acts of the church. These things are supposed to happen, and that's what differentiates us from others, that God's with us, and everything he says he'll do, he'll do. But, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on, but two, that we also have to make disciples. We also have to make disciples. More we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
The world's waiting for a hope. They're waiting for another conversation that only you and your assignment can provide. Daniel was just faithful to his assignment, and he kept getting called before the kings. They remembered him from generation to generation and said, wait, there's one man who can solve this problem. And I believe that God's releasing people into their assignment, and in their assignment, there's going to be people who hear the whisper of their name, and you're going to find yourself called into places. Maybe you're just a barista, and all of a sudden the head of the whole coffee company comes in and goes, I need to talk to you. I've heard some things that you've done here. And you're like, am I in trouble? No, it's actually the opposite. We're in trouble. We need you right now. I'm hearing these scenarios all over the world right now where Christians are being placed to solve problems and to cure confusion. And it's not just in one genre or area. The beautiful thing about the kingdom is it works in all aspects of life. It's not just like the easy parts of life. It's the hard parts of life. That's when Christianity shines. That's when we're a light, is the hard parts of life. There's two options, and all of a sudden we bring another option. There's no answers. Everything's exhausted, and all of a sudden we show up, and it's like because we showed up, like when Jesus showed up, another option's presented, and people are like, how is God this good?
October 31st, 2017 will mark the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses, the start of the Protestant Reformation.
The sale of indulgences by the church in the 16th century had become common practice. People believed that buying an indulgence could supplement the sacrament of penance and assure them a right standing before God. Martin Luther, a German priest and professor of theology at Wittenberg, came to believe otherwise.
His list of propositions for debate within the church on the efficacy of indulgences, known as Luther's 95 Theses, set off a firestorm of debate.
Furthermore, he believed if people actually read the Bible in their own language, they could read the truth for themselves. He was excommunicated, and when ordered to recant, he refused.
My conscience is bound in the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant.
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about, you know, being the church and, you know, how, you know, the VFN Dream Center came to pass and how, you know, we're leading to this whole, you know, what we saw God do. And powerful, powerful things. And he's still doing, but just in a powerful way, the core part of what he was doing. And, John, you were talking about...
Yeah. You know, I remember a sister, you know, a woman that gathered in our fellowship, just as we just gathered together as a church, and she had a tumor that I believe was the size of a grapefruit. And as I remember...
In her brain.
Yeah, in her brain. And many doctors, they, you know, it's like she was going to have surgery.
They said they couldn't do anything else for her.
And I believe they said that she was going to die as a result of this thing. And
she would just fall out and pass out.
Yeah, I mean, just huge, major, major under attack.
Was a bus driver in the school system.
Yeah, geez, man, what a memory. And then we prayed. We prayed for the church, just gathered, and we just kept praying and praying for her. Mm-hmm. And God dissolved that grapefruit.
Well, first, God gave her seven dreams.
Was it seven?
The same dream over and over seven times. You remember that?
Yeah.
Built her faith up.
That's all it was healed. And that just built her faith. And she went to the doctor.
And And the doctor told her
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it shrunk. Completely shrunk. Yeah. It didn't come all the way down to, it was completely gone.
Gone. She was gone. Under oppression of the enemy that all that was hitting her. You know, she couldn't hardly walk. At times she was fall out. She couldn't work her job as a bus driver.
Yeah.
That she even went to the point, and this is before she had, you know, started gathering with us, that she was going to take her son's life.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was going to take her son's life as a baby. And God delivered her from all of that, set her free from that, and then healed her from a brain tumor. Did all of that from her.
Yeah. This is beautiful.
The enemy had convinced this lady that if you're not going to be here with your son, then, you know, he doesn't need to be here. I'm like, the devil's all over that.
Yeah.
You know, God's going to set you free.
Yeah.
And guess what? God set her free. Her son's a healthy son today. She's actually probably still in that. She's back in that business again. And it's just a miracle, you know, what God is doing. I know that we had another situation where this is pretty amazing stuff because, mm-hmm. I mean, does this happen when you come together? So we had this particular man that had gotten into some deep sin. And I think it was myself and Pat talking mm-hmm. to him. And we realized, you know, this guy's going to be prayed for because there's something all over him or mm-hmm. in him, around him, ever how you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So we took this particular man to my office. Mm-hmm. And I have a German Shepherd dog. Mm-hmm. I have a German Shepherd dog at the time. And
with discernment.
Yeah, well, anyway, so, you know, we're praying for this particular man, and it's so severe. I mean, the enemy just got a hold of this particular guy. We're not, you know, we're just like, you know, coming against whatever it is in Jesus' name and telling him to leave this man alone. And his eyes begin to literally just turn red and just bloodshot. But my dog was literally running and jumping at the door of my office. I'm a German Shepherd trying to get in and rescue, you know, me probably from all that stuff was going on. So dogs actually, it's amazing. They know stuff mm-hmm. that's up.
They sure do.
And, you know, I'm thinking, what did you do? I mean, what did you talk to this particular guy? Did you rob a bank? I mean, what did you do? You know, I was just thinking it was so huge. And just the power of God was just so powerful. And deliverance taking place. And we've seen other times when, you know, people had come to mean harm to somebody in the gathering. They came, you know, and that's what's going to happen. You know, if you find God and you're with God and the power of God set you free, there's going to be an immediate attack from people who are held captive by the adversary to try to pull you out of that, distract you, dilute you, pull you away, possibly even pull you into religion. But this person came with an intent, mm-hmm. with evil intent to do harm, to ridicule a family member that had gotten saved. And we were just there worshiping God. I mean, no hype. It's really exciting, by the way, because you don't have to have any hype. You don't have to build anybody up and take them and all that kind of stuff. We're just worshiping God, raising our hands, just worshiping God. And this particular person, we'd already eaten, you know, had a meal together, and we just began to worship God. And you know, before we were going to go into some teachings, and with that, all of a sudden, God's Spirit began to deal with this man. He couldn't even stand up. He went down under the power of God, where he's sitting in a chair with his elbows on his knees, and we're just worshiping God. You don't have to worry about it. God's going to deal with folks like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about, you know, Mariah Etter, when somebody started coming towards her years ago on the stage, and the power of God just dealt with the man where he fell backwards, his tongue swelled up in his mouth. It's pretty wild, isn't it? And he began to see visions of hell. And when he got up, he gave his life to God. I mean, because God loves you. It's not against people that we're coming against. It's actually against God, if we're coming against God's folks. And so, needless to say, he barrels out of the gathering and goes out front and just sits there while we finish up for maybe a couple hours of celebration and teaching and all that. And next time he comes, he doesn't even come anywhere near. He stays at a distance from the property and talks from a distance. The fear of God was so powerful. Wow. The presence of God was so strong that he wouldn't even come near it. But it sounded, that's what he says in the book of Acts. He says they feared God and they wouldn't even come amongst them.
We'll be right back.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Is the Bible a banned book within a state penitentiary? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work at a juvenile institution for the state of California. I have always had my Bible on my desk, my personal Bible, and the chaplain has asked me to hand out materials for the students that request it. My supervisor has informed me that I must remove all the materials, including my personal Bible, and I'd like to know what my rights are concerning that.
Now I'm going to get you right over to our legal department at the American Center for Law and Justice, because inside of prisons throughout the United States, and that would include juvenile facilities, there are chaplains, and those chaplains have Bibles, and those chaplains give spiritual counsel. And inmates that are in custody are also encouraged and allowed to go to worship services that take place. So the idea that a Bible would be off limits in the workplace of a juvenile detention facility is just ridiculous. Hang on the line. We'll get our lawyers in touch with you right away.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And next time he comes, he doesn't even come anywhere near. He stays at a distance from the property and talks from a distance. He does. The fear of God was so powerful, the presence of God was so strong that he wouldn't even come near it. But it sounds that's what he says in the Book of Acts. He says they feared God and they wouldn't even come amongst them. But you're not afraid to go in the presence of God if God is your Father, if Jesus is your Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an exciting thing to happen. And so over and over again, just the power of God and deliverance and blessings and healing, second stage breast cancer, a couple of stages of breast cancer, a couple of times of breast cancer being healed, dream after dream, prophetic encounters, the birthing of a 24-hour, once-a-week prayer community that began, a ministry that spread around the U.S. And
I think about genuine love. You know, koinonia that was just so there, just so beautiful. And that everyone just came and wanted to be a part of what God was doing and cared about each other so deeply. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just natural. Naturally the way God designed us to be.
And that's what he's called us to do. And that's the whole thing is that can you love where you presently are? And you can. But is the environment one that encourages you to love? Because that's the only thing that differentiates you from someone else. Authentic love. Do you love?
Right.
And if you haven't yet gotten Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, the revised, updated version, it's right here. You need to get it because it just really talks about, you know, crazy love and that we have to just be fully in love with God and God's people. And it just all of a sudden you look forward to coming together. I mean, how many people go to, you hear them talk about a family reunion coming up and they're depressed. They're thinking, oh, great, I'm going to go there, and so-and-so is going to push my buttons, and, you know, aunt so-and-so, uncle so-and-so, and it's this whole thing that they go through, and it's just like, why even go?
Right.
I mean, well, because they're, you know, that's a family reunion. That's not a family reunion. That's torment. You know, that's not, you know, that's a grave name in those days. That's not what God's called you to. He has not called you to go. That's not family. That's the enemy's convinced you. If that's been your experiences with family, that the enemy's done that to your family to cause you to repel family. And if you repel horizontal family, you'll repel vertical family. And understand God's family is not like that. There's issues. You have all that kind of stuff. But God's presence heals those things and delivers us and gives us through his word the ability to walk through those things. And so you look forward to coming together. You look forward to having a meal with your brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. You look forward to worshiping God together. And one thing you also notice too, when you start being family, is that the kids are no longer off in some place somewhere. I mean, you're just the family. And then the kids are seeing their fathers and mothers worship God, and then. You know, fatherless children are actually being fathered because fathers are right there with them through the whole time together. And it's just very exciting. and just the power of God, the waves of God, and the it's amazing what God does. And God is the one that just led us into that. And I look at Francis Chan today, and I think, you know, when you see where he's at, that I totally understand. You know, I might not understand him, but I can I can see some similarities in that journey. Mm-hmm. It's like, because once you've tasted and you've seen, you just don't want anything else. But then you have the situation where, okay, now we can't just turn inward. You need to be able to make disciples. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to let other people have this experience. You got to be able to do what we talk about as a rapid church planting movement. You got to be able to have governmental, maybe apostolic covering, some sort of, you know, all these things had to happen, because what we found out was is that God was so into it that whatever you do, you're going to be responsible for. And, you know, if you reproduce wrong is going to be wrong. That's and right. So begin to seek God for how you wanted things to unfold and the pattern and all these different things. And it unfolded. It was called Vine Fellowship Network. And so when we get back, I want to talk to you about understanding this mandate of all the things God's called us to do. There's two things he's called us to do. He's told us to be a disciple, love, and make disciples. I mean, that's what he's called us to do. And so the culture in America, 95% statistics say, I believe it's Barna statistics, that people that are regular church attenders won't lead one person to the Lord in their entire life. In other words, they won't make one disciple. And it's like, what have we done that we created such an environment that's in disobedience to God?
Yeah.
What have we done? It's like, I don't want to stand before God and say, you know, boy, we sang that song, you know, and we had this great time and you blessed us and you healed us, but we didn't share that with anybody. We didn't share that with anybody. We just kept all that to ourselves. And by the way, that's when God leaves, by the way, when you're not going to share what God is doing. And so I want to talk to you about how these things unfolded, because what we see and what I see is that God wants you to experience this very same koinonia, the church, the body that he is, and the power and the love and the compassion, and he'll love you through other believers. And it's just amazing what he'll do. He'll heal those empty places and fill those empty places and, you know, wet those dry areas. And he'll put light in areas you thought that you could never have light in. It's just really, really powerful. So I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.